turn with me this morning, the book of Galatians. I started saying fourth chapter, but I think third chapter. We're going to the fourth, but I don't know who made the division here, but it wasn't right. It's the wrong place between those two chapters. Was thinking this week about what I'd said last week, how that people are very much into ceremony for salvation. Ever since the devil tempted Adam and Eve, and their conscience was awakened, man tried to cover nakedness up. They went and sewed some fig leaves together, just tried to cover it up. Man's still trying to do that, but he tries to do it more in ceremony today than anything else, and he's in bondage to that. Isn't that amazing? He's just in bondage to it without any knowledge of it. Lord told the disciples, said, you're blessed. He is talking about in his day, in their day. In seeing you see, and in hearing you hear. That's another amazing thing. Is it can be laid out so clear and yet be so obscure. Man can't look into it outside of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's power that reigns with man if he knows the Lord. That I'm going to send the comforter. But he wouldn't just come in that day either. That's another thing. He's there all along. It wasn't a new thing except in the fact that there was a change in the time when the Lord Jesus Christ came in the person. Then he preached in the person. And not by types and shadows. And things. In 26th verse of the third chapter, it says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I guess we could start right here, what is being taught today, and for all my lifetime, is being taught in a really impressive way that man is in the state of faith, all he has to do is apply. They put grace out like this. It's in a nice little package up at the altar. Just come pick it up and get it. But it's by faith, which is in Christ Jesus, and it's also of you. Said, for as many as of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, there's no difference in those people of old and now, except for one thing. The people of old were still under the burden of keeping the law or the ceremony of the law. And then I look back at that ceremony, that kind of ceremony. And it had to be done absolutely perfect. They had the tabernacle, said, build this tabernacle, and I want it built exactly according to the pattern. Who's going to build it? Not just anybody. Oh, it had to be a certain people to build a tabernacle. And then the curtains were to be a certain thing, and the rings is going to hold them up on the poles. They'd be exactly a certain thing. All the vessels and the altar and everything had to be exactly right. And they were under the burden to keep that service. You go back and read in the book of Deuteronomy, especially, how much was involved in that service. We think we got it rough today. We got to get up and come to church house. But those people were still in that bondage. He said, now I say in the fourth chapter, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. He's same way. Though he be Lord of all. He hadn't come to age yet. He didn't do time. So either way, he said, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Well, what's going to be doing the tutoring and the governing and law and all the elements of that temple or that tabernacle? All of it was going to be evidence that there was a God and that he was holy and just because it was perfect. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, they were in bondage under the elements of what they were seeing too. What they were visualizing was all these earthly things. But isn't it something that all those earthly things held a heavenly portrait? It's the reason they had to be built so perfect and taken so much care of. And when you move, carry that with you because it is a picture of the Lord himself in his perfection. So hold on to that. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, and they were in bondage under the elements of that service. He said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, or I think better said, subject to it, to the penalty of the law. Because he is going to have to fulfill it if it be fulfilled. If God the Father was going to be satisfied, it had to be fulfilled by this one that would come, because the whole world was dead. And its only resurrection was going to be in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in the last time, nobody's going to be resurrected also, but we better hang on to the first resurrection. made of a woman, made under the law or subject to the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I don't think I have to tell you, this has always been one of my favorite subjects, is the adoption. That's a little better than applying your faith. It just comes up on you, overtakes you. And we become sons. We're brothers with the Lord Himself by the power of the Holy Ghost. But it was all in the fullness of time. Isn't that something also? The Lord left the Israelite people so long with just types and shadows under the bondage of carrying out the service. Today we call ourselves going having service. Well, we do. But it isn't nearly as grueling and complicated as it was in the days of the Israelite people. But in the fullness of time, you're most blessed because you see and you see and hear and you hear. And in these last days, the Lord has come Himself to testify to us. Whereas all before that, it was just prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy in our day. And it's good. And when He come to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Not everybody can say that, because they don't see, and they don't hear, and they don't want to. You know, isn't that something? If they really wanted to, they probably could. But it's not in their nature. Unless something be awakened in man, he will not see. Not going to do it. You can teach him all day long, see, see, see. That's the reason they've had to resort to this, all these beggarly elements. Well, we'll have some better ceremony. More pomp and more, you know, put the big pot in the little. If you do enough, surely God is going to be pleased with it. But if it isn't done in a proper manner, then it's still not worth anything. You can work all you want to. The Bible even talks about people twisting up their face and getting all constorted and all these things to try to worship God, even to the point that they'd kill their own children. That's going pretty far, isn't it? That's some kind of bondage to it. So that's the kind of bondage that man is in. But the Israelites' little bondage of doing their thing wasn't so much when you compare it to the bondage of the world. It's got a big hope. Lest God have mercy, it'll stay that way. He said, wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. When we can call Him Abba Father, this is our God. And we call upon Him. And we do. Morning and night. I don't know about you, but somehow it just comes. Lord, watch over me tonight. Lord, thank You I got up this morning. He's our Father. So we call upon Him as children. No more servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. No, not of what you're going to do, but through Christ. I don't know why I won't add something to that. That's it. Well, I do know why, because they're trying to put on some more fig leaves. They know their nakedness. He said, how be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. It's just natural thing to do. Right. But now after that ye have known God, oh, he said, wait a minute, I got to change that. Shouldn't have wrote that down. Or rather are known of God, I turn you again to weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Well, we're going to get us some pictures on the wall, make us some statues, and have us a new covenant hanging over here on this side, and all those things. When the simplicity of serving God is just called upon Him. And praise His name. But to go to all kinds of things to try to appease God. You understand their conscience all the time is telling them that God is mad. And they won't blame God all the time for stuff that's going on that they think is the devil's work. They credit him with it, and they don't know that it is God's work. But they're trying to, you know, tiptoe around that very carefully so they don't offend this God that's already mad. So, the writing to the people at Galatia by Apostle Paul was pretty much what Paul, our Paul, has been talking about last couple of weeks. He said you need to start growing and have knowledge, a true knowledge. Can't just stay the same way all the time. Need to grow in grace and knowledge. And that's what he's trying to tell him. Why do you want to turn that back and go to such beggarly elements as that when it's so simple? Why do you want to be in bondage? Get our money to bondage. Well, they want to get there because they want to do something besides just serve God. Want to work out something when all they got to do is just sit down and quietly examine themselves to see if they be in the faith of Christ. Those people of old were under bondage to the servants. But you know what? They weren't in bondage at all. They were in bondage to do that. But they were at liberty to serve God. Now the Bible talks a good bit about in our age, in the New Testament we'd call it age, there is liberty. What are we liberated from? Those beggarly elements. We serve God in simplicity. Not in all that pomp and stuff. It won't get you nowhere. You can have the best organ in the world and play in the prettiest music. It won't do you one whit of good. Now the problem with the whole thing is that he's not their father. And they're not given the liberty to call him father. But they and we both, by the power of the Holy Ghost, are at liberty to call him Abba Father. Sometimes we have a hard time getting a hold of some of these things when they're so simple. We were both at one time in bondage, both Jew and Gentile. But they had liberty in the Spirit to worship and see what was going on. In seeing, they see. And in hearing, they heard. And they were liberated. But things hadn't changed a bit in that respect. Man is liberated in Christ Jesus. And he's liberated to serve God. And those people were liberated to do all those chores that they were given to do because it was the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so much confusion nowadays about how the people of old were saved and how the people today are saved, and they don't understand they're all the same thing. They had liberty in Christ Jesus. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. Both peoples to serve the living God. They even want to say, well, the church started on the day of Pentecost. Well, what? How ridiculous. What are we going to do with all them people of old? We're going to have some separate thing for them somewhere? Yeah, well, that's kind of what they say. Yeah. But my Bible said it was the church in the wilderness. Yeah. And why there's so much, I know why there's so much confusion, because they don't see. And they don't want to. You can preach to them all day long, and they're not going to. But you never know when the preaching of the gospel might hit its mark, because the Lord is always careful that his word will not return unto him void, but it will do what it's sent to do. Not one will be lost, not one more will be saved than the Lord intended in eternity. But what makes a difference in the people of the world and the people of God is simply this: the earnest of the Spirit. And I believe all you have to do to examine that is to examine yourself and see if he is your father. We pray our Father. We're taught to do that. Our Father, which art in heaven. So we call upon him. How? In spirit and in truth. And knowing that we have no power of our own but to call upon him. So we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father, Father. You could keep on with that. And we're reminded. How? By the Comforter. Well, we get in trouble. We call. But here's the thing. Is it only when you get in trouble, or is it daily that your spirit calls upon him by the Spirit of Jesus Christ?
Been reading in Numbers and Deuteronomy this week. And I'm amazed all over again at how exacting God is. Even when they took the tabernacle down to move it to a different place. When the children of Israel moved, the tabernacle moved with them. Except it didn't move standing up. They took it all down. And it was appointed unto the Levites. The Levites were the only ones that were could lawfully carry that tabernacle. But certain ones of them could only carry certain parts of it. And they were not able to carry what they wanted to carry, or according to their minds. They had to carry it according to the way God told them to carry it. And, you know, again, even the fasteners that held the tabernacle together had to be made out of certain material and had to be made in a certain way. Every down to the least detail had to be done according to the Word of God. Now, again, thankfully, how would you like to come to services this morning and bring your lamb of a year with you, or your bullet with you, or your whatever, and have to have it slain out there and worship the Lord in such a fashion as that. And yet, keep the fire going all the time, day and night, didn't matter. And those priests had to be clothed in certain garments and go through all of the ritual of cleansing and washing. And it was, sometimes I really wonder, it'd almost take a lifetime of teaching just to learn exactly how to do all of this. But there was a purpose. Yeah. It was a purpose. God had a purpose in all of that until the fullness of time comes, and then here comes the one that all of that represented. And when you think about the perfection of all of that, it implied that's how perfect the Savior is. But there was only one man. The writer of Isaiah says, God searched for a man and found not one until he looked at his only begotten Son, the only one that could fulfill all of that. In his absolute perfection. And he bursts that into us so that we desire to worship him in a holy manner. And so we come today and trust him that the Spirit of God in us leads us to worship him in a way that is worthy, indeed more worthy than all of those sacrifices that were made. In all of the many years that they were made. And you know, again, I marvel, like at the dedication of the temple, not the tabernacle, but the temple, and the rededication, and like in Josiah's day, thousands of these animals were sacrificed. And you wonder, how many men, how many of those Levites did it take, JT, to do all of that? But God provided. And so it was acceptable to him, not because of the sacrifices themselves, but because of the broken and the contrite hearts that presented those offerings unto him. All right, good thinking this morning. And again, trusting that the Lord has opened our hearts and opened our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and that it has been and will be a blessing to us.